So the question is, denial itself is based on our forgetting. How can we begin the journey back to remembering? If we wish to stop the atrocities, we need merely to step away from the isolation. There's a whole world waiting for us, ready to welcome us home, is a quote from A Language Older Than Words. I think the first step into this is that perpetrators of abuse, whether they are individual perpetrators of abuse or whether it is an entire abusive culture, one of the most important things that they have to do is to monopolize the perception of their victims. Because if the perpetrator of the abuse, and this is true whether we're talking about an individual abuser or an entire culture or a government or anything else, can convince its victims that the abuse is actually natural or inevitable, then there's no reason for the victim to resist. So the first step, I think, is to remember or to understand or to learn that not every relationship is abusive, and to learn that not every culture has destroyed its land base. That was a very important part of my understanding when I was younger, was to realize that there are all these indigenous cultures who didn't destroy their land bases. The Talua, on whose land I lived here for 12,500 years at least, and they didn't destroy the place. So if you understand that there are cultures who don't destroy their land bases, then that leads to the question, okay, what is the difference? Why are some cultures like that? And then it leads to the understanding that if one culture can do it, then any culture really can do it, that you can change the culture to conform to the land. And likewise with relationships, if you're in a relationship that is abusive, understanding that there are relationships that aren't abusive makes you realize, why do I have to put up with this crap? And I mean, on the other hand, if all relationships are abusive, then I may as well just be in the least abusive one I can find. But if they're not abusive, if there are relationships that aren't abusive, then that changes everything. And it's the same with recognizing that there are some cultures that have been either very low rape or no rape at all. Then when you realize that there are such things as low rape cultures, then you have to ask yourself, why are we putting up with this high rape culture? And I think that that the next thing we have to do to remember is to, another thing that happens in abusive relationships, another reason that they monopolize the perception of their victims is that they want the victims to identify with the perpetrator. And so one of the things that is a necessary step to getting out of any sort of abusive relationship is to break your identification with the perpetrator and to actually care about your own well-being more than theirs, and to care about the well-being of others in your family more than you care about the perpetrator's well-being. And that's a hugely important and difficult step, especially because everything in this culture teaches us to identify with the oppressors, to identify with the perpetrators of abuse. I mean, the argument can easily be made and has been made that this is much of what constitutes, quote, femininity, is male identification and acting out many of the characteristics of post-traumatic stress disorder, the sometimes almost insane eagerness to please, the willingness to put males above women. And so all of those need to be broken. And the first step toward remembering, I guess, is remembering that you exist and that you exist independent of the perpetrator. And the next step is remembering that you can – is remembering there are other ways to be and then starting to find them. But the perpetrator will fight you at every step of the way. There's a great quote you asked. I mean, the question was, denial itself is based on our forgetting. So Artie Lang perfectly described one of the things that perpetrators will do to try to get their victims to not step away. And he talks about two people, Jack and Jill. He says, if Jack succeeds in forgetting something, this is of little use if Jill continues to remind him of it. So it could be, for example, that Jack is being abusive, that not all relationships involve men hitting women. It could be the belief, the understanding that this way of life is not sustainable. You know, this applies all around. So if Jack succeeds in forgetting something, he succeeds in forgetting that there have been indigenous cultures who have not lived unsustainably. It may be people within this patriarchy trying to remind us that, or trying to make us forget that there have been ways of life that have not been high rape. It could be an individual perpetrator trying to get the members of the family to forget that, that he is in fact abusive. So if Jack succeeds in forgetting something, this is of little use if Jill continues to remind him of it. He must induce her not to do so. The safest way would be not just to make her keep quiet about it, but to induce her to forget also. Jack may act upon Jill in several ways. He may make her feel guilty for keeping on bringing it up. He may invalidate her experience. This can be done more or less radically. He can indicate merely that it's unimportant or trivial, whereas it's important and significant to her. Going further, he can shift the modality of her experience from memory to imagination. It's all in your imagination. Further still, he can invalidate the content. It never happened that way. Finally, he can invalidate not only the significance, modality, and content, but her very capacity to remember it all and make her feel guilty for doing so in the bargain. This is not unusual. People are doing such things to each other all the time. In order for transpersonal invalidation to work, however, it's advisable to overlay it with a thick pattern of mystification. For example, by denying this is what one is doing and further invalidating any perception that's being done by ascriptions such as, how can you think such a thing? Or you must be paranoid. And so I think that the first step toward remembering is changing your loyalty away from the perpetrator. And then after that, I think that it's very important to have safety and to move away from the perpetrator and to have other perceptions brought to you and to have space where you can slowly remember. I love that word, like a member, like your arm is a member. So you can remember, you can bring yourself all back together, and that takes time and that takes other voices besides the perpetrators. And one of the great difficulties of this is that this process of remembering can be incredibly painful because, I mean, it's joyous in terms of getting away from the perpetrator, but also it's very painful. It is a metamorphosis, just like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It is, one has to remake one's entire being. One has to remake one's entire identity because one was identified with the perpetrator. One has to break that. Break, I mean that. And that's very painful. And one has to break one's addiction to identifying with the perpetrator and then have to grow a new identity to remember an old identity. But in either case, you have to reconfigure yourself. You have to remake yourself. You have to remember yourself. And that can be incredibly painful. Part of that involves acknowledging what you did and acknowledging what and who you became when you were under the thrall of the perpetrator. One has to, I mean, this is the point of confession in the Catholic Church. This is the point of, which recognize that's problematical on other reasons. This is the point of whatever stage it is of AA where you acknowledge the things that you did when you were under thrall to the addiction. And that is all. This is true whether we're talking about getting away from an abusive relationship or whether it is decolonizing. Jack Forbes wrote about how the In order to decolonize, you have to really feel the shame of your own participation in your own degradation. And you have to acknowledge that without beating yourself up for it, without saying, I'm a bad person because of this, because that's central too. Judith Herman talks about how one of the most effective tools of the perpetrator is when they can get their victim to violate the victim's own moral code, when they can get the victim to do things that the victim finds disgusting, because they know that if they can break them in that way, they've really got them. The same was said of Jews in the Holocaust. There was one of the survivors of the Holocaust was talking about how the thing that really got you was when they got you to betray yourself to them. And once they did that, they could ease off. Once the perpetrators did that, they could ease off on the physical assaults, everything else, because they knew that then the person, the victim, would beat themselves up. And it's the same with I've known women who were with perpetrators of abuse who would be forced by the perpetrator into, for example, prostitution. And then once they had done that, they beat themselves up. And he no longer had to beat them so much. That's part of that process of dismemberment, of dismembering our various parts of our bodies. And so I want to say that when you get to safety, that doesn't mean that the struggle is over once you're safely away from the perpetrator. That process of remembering can be long and painful, and many people don't go through it because it is so painful and because it does take so much work. But all I can say about that process is that for myself at least, that short-term pain was worth it for the long-term gain of remembering who I am.